Hey everyone, it's Cardiff. Today's Planet Money Indicator is $7.25. That's the federal minimum wage, $7.25 an hour. Every working person in the country has to be paid at least that much, and 29 individual states have minimum wages that are higher than the federal minimum wage. Now, until a couple of decades ago, the simple worry among economists was that raising the minimum wage would lead to fewer jobs. Because if you think about it, raising the minimum wage makes it more expensive for a company to hire a worker, because the company has to pay the worker a higher wage. So in theory, you would expect companies to just not hire as many workers. But as with so many other things in economics, theory and reality are not the same thing. A lot of research has now been done on the impact of the minimum wage on the labor market, and in the real world, the relationship is complicated. So today on the show, I'm going to speak with economist Aaron Dubay of the University of Massachusetts. He is maybe the economist, or at least one of the economists, who has done the most to really grapple with all of the different strains of research on this topic. And that is coming right up after the break.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from SAP Concur. Employees can submit expenses from anywhere. It's how the best-run businesses make their expenses run better. SAP Concur. Learn more at concur.com/NPR. Support also comes from Klarna. Online retailers boost holiday sales by offering your customers options at checkout to pay in no-interest installments with Klarna. Fast integrations are available. Visit klarna.com/NPR.
Aaron Dubay, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I started by asking Aaron Dubay a straightforward kind of bottom line question. How would you summarize the research, including your own research, on the effect of a higher minimum wage on the job market?
I think the weight of the evidence to date suggests the employment effects from minimum wage increases in the U.S. have been pretty small, much smaller than the wage increases. For example, in a recent comprehensive assessment of over 130 state minimum wage increases since 1979, we studied the impact on total number of low-wage jobs. We found that in the 5 years following each increase, jobs were not visibly affected, while wages rose sharply at the bottom. So as a profession, I think we have updated our priors as more data has come in. For example, 30 years ago, most economists expressed confidence in surveys that minimum wages had a clear negative impact on jobs. That is no longer true today.
And when Aaron says that wages rose for people at the bottom, there he is also citing some of his own research.
There's evidence that minimum wages tend to increase incomes for the bottom 20% of families. In a recently published study, I found that a 20% increase in the minimum wage typically lowers the number of people under poverty by between 4 and 8%.
Aaron says that he's also looked at whether raising the minimum wage has led to some workers getting fewer benefits from the government because those minimum wage workers are now making more money. So they would become ineligible for those benefits.
We should keep in mind that some of the wage gains are offset by reduced public assistance, like food stamps or tax credits. What I find is that workers keep around 2/3 of the wage gains after taking these offsets into account.
So the workers keep most but not all of the gains from a higher minimum wage. And the government saves a bit of money on benefits programs when the minimum wage goes up. Because remember, companies pay that higher wage, not the government. So to summarize, the minimum wage increases that we've seen from the states over the years do seem to have helped people at the bottom, and they do not appear to have led to many fewer jobs. And so my next question for Aaron was, why not? If companies have to pay more for their workers, why haven't they hired fewer of them?
If firms are able to pretty easily pass on the cost increase as a price increase to customers, then that might mitigate any kind of job loss. And this is important because today, most minimum wage workers are in the service sector, like retail and restaurants, where it's actually much easier to pass through some of the cost increases as prices than, let's say, in manufacturing, where the market's really national or even global. So that's one reason.
Yes, Aaron is saying, companies are being forced to pay more for their workers. But in response, companies can also just raise the prices of what they sell. A fast food worker gets a higher wage, and we pay more for hamburgers and milkshakes. And the second reason that companies don't hire fewer workers, Aaron says, is that some companies just don't mind paying the higher wage in the first place, because a higher minimum wage gives their workers more of a reason to stay in their jobs, and so companies end up not having to look for new workers, and that saves them some money.
What that means is that firms could potentially be trading off a higher cost with lower turnover or ease in filling vacancies.
I asked Aaron if that lower turnover is necessarily a good thing, because one thing that I worry about is that a high minimum wage might discourage people from seeking out jobs that pay better and that they're a better fit for. So there might be less dynamism, less churn in the labor market. But Aaron says that in this case, less churn is actually a good thing.
Because it actually signals that these jobs become a bit better, and that means workers are a bit more likely to stick around. That's actually also an offsetting factor, which reduces the cost of the minimum wage to employers, because they actually have to train less workers, retrain less workers, and spend less money on filling vacancies. So for those reasons, I think the reduced turnover resulting from the minimum wage is in net a good thing, at least to a point.
Right now, the highest minimum wage in any state is still just $11.50 an hour. That's in Washington. But some states already have plans to raise the minimum wage all the way to $15 an hour in the coming years. So I had another question for Aaron. It may be the case that for kind of moderate or modest minimum wage hikes, there is not that much of an effect on jobs, on overall jobs. But nobody is suggesting, for example, that the minimum wage be $50 an hour or $100 an hour, because at that point, it really won't be worth it to companies to hire workers. Some of them would just go out of business if they had to. And so there is some level at which paying too high a minimum wage would affect the job market. Maybe we just haven't reached it yet, but I don't know. And so I guess my question is, how should we think about that? How should we think about where that line is, where it becomes too high a minimum wage?
This is a really important question. In our work, we really try to address whether the job losses show up when the minimum wage is at a higher level, especially in relationship to the median wage.
The median wage is the wage in the middle of the population. Half the people in a given place make more than the median wage, and half the people make less than the median wage.
So what we can say based on the existing data is that minimum wages that are up to about 55% of the median wage do not seem to lead to visible job losses. However, what that means is when we take the minimum wage substantially higher, we may not know what could happen. And I think keeping track, especially of the more recent, more aggressive minimum wage increases, will be important going forward.
In other words, if the minimum wage in a given place gets much higher than roughly half the typical wage, we don't know what will happen. It might be near that point where the minimum wage is too high and does lead to fewer jobs. And that's why Aaron says we should remember that not every place is the same.
The minimum wage has a much bigger bite in lower wage areas.
So think about it this way. Paying a $15 minimum wage in a place like New York City, where prices are already really high, won't have the same effects as paying a $15 minimum wage in like a small town in Alabama. And in Alabama, one of those effects might be fewer jobs. But for his part, Aaron is taking a scholarly approach.
We're in the period in the United States today of experimenting with so much higher minimum wages. I think we'll have to keep a close eye on the data to actually figure out where's that sweet spot beyond which it may not be a good idea to increase further.
What has epic battles, biting wit, and holiday cheer? Maybe Thanksgiving, but also our pop culture happy hour celebration of the action classic Die Hard. Whether you're traveling or relaxing on the couch, it's a perfect welcome to the party, pal. Hear the conversation now on Pop Culture Happy Hour.